This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Across from me for the second straight day, former Cleveland Indians pitcher Jason Stanford. What's up, buddy?
Good afternoon, Mr. Nick. How's it going today?
Other than this weather, the weather has totally hit me. Like, I don't know if I have seasonal affected disorder, whatever it's called, which does, I think the acronym is SAD, which makes sense. But ever since we just hit rain this week, I am a little bit on the mornings are just a little bit tougher for me. I'm good now, but like the mornings, oh man, it's taken me a second to get my ass out of first gear.
So I'm wishing that I had a garage that actually worked where I could park my car inside of it so I don't have to clean the leaves off it so I can see my vehicle.
So I love that you say that. So we're in a rental right now, and we have, so since we don't have like a full basement, my garage is either stuff that I use for like preparing food or it is boxes. So not only, because usually what we've done in Manaway, my truck was too big to fit in the garage. So Vanessa had free run of the garage outside of like any sort of, we don't even have enough room for her car. So it's a tight fit. And so when you go out there in the morning and you're trying to back up and there's rain and you're like, am I going to clip the house? Am I not? I haven't, but I have had to stop my mom from clipping the house. So I'm right there with you. The use of a garage, all because you know what it is? All right, I think it's psychological. I think when you get into a car and you don't have to deal with the rain yet, it's like a shield. It's like you're, but when you have to walk through the rain to get to your car, you're like, oh man, I'm in it today. That 10 second difference of being in the rain to your car or never having to be in the rain while you're in your car, totally different. Agree 100%.
Well, in my garage, it's detached. So I have to walk through the rain and the snow during the wintertime. And to have the vehicle in there, I have an automatic starter on my vehicle. So you start that bad boy up, you're good to go. Unfortunately, now I have baseball stuff in there. I have hunting gear in there. So I'm not going to be able to get to anything other than my hunting stuff.
Is your garage like my garage is, where it's like, okay, the rest of the house is yours. The garage, just leave alone. Do you have that same kind of principle?
I do. Everything in the garage is mine. It's nobody else's. My son does have his fishing lines in there and lures and tackle boxes and everything else. But other than that, it is my stuff and nobody else is allowed to touch it.
So the thing with, so that's the general rule in the Wilson household. But because it's also how we walk in and out of the house, the amount of stuff, and the kids are pretty cool in this new house. The biggest offender is Ness. I don't know how to say this because she's better than me. I don't know if I've told you this before. She's better looking than me. She's nicer than me. She's a better person than me.
That's probably like, easy to say, right?
Like in every single way, she's better. But man, I'll tell you, she'll just throw something in the garage and I'll come in and it's like right in the middle of the footpath to the freezer. And I'm like, this is intentional. This is warfare. There's no way. There's no way you knew. That's my spot. You put something in my spot that doesn't go in my spot. And then she looks at me like I have three heads because I definitely just overreacted about her throwing something in the middle of the garage.
So we're in the beginning stages here. My girlfriend is also named Vanessa.
Mm-hmm.
And so for us,
it could get confusing, by the way.
Pardon me?
It could get confusing very quickly.
Right, very much so on this afternoon show. But when I look at it, the upstairs, we have a room up there, all Vanessa stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All in bins still coming up from Florida. Basement, mainly Vanessa stuff. So I get stuck in the outdoors.
Yep.
with the detached garage. She gets indoors, so she never gets wet.
And you never get cold.
Very true.
That's the other thing is I've noticed that I'm allowed to claim spaces where the frequency of getting cold is quite a bit, and the places where it's dry and warm, well, those are somehow co-opted by one of the other four people that I live with. I'm sure just a coincidence.
Well, she's going to experience coldness for the first time. This will be fun.
Oh, that is, This is going to be it. This will be
the breaking point, possibly.
The greatest
we'll see.
Test of any relationship. The first time somebody who grew up in the South, who grew up in warmth. And here's the thing. You think, oh, it'll be December. Nope. It's going to be about the third cold spell in February when you're like, oh, I think it's spring. And then it hits sub-zero temperatures. That's when we find out.
Very much so.
That's when we find out if you can hang in Ohio here. By the way, kudos to you guys for staying last night. You told me you got home at 11:30 last night after what was a phenomenal game. There's so many cool things from last night's game.
Very much so. You know, you go on the air in the afternoon from 2 to 7. Great day yesterday. Had a blast. And then we go watch the game, and wow, what a game to watch.
So it's so funny. There were a couple times where this is why you shouldn't live tweet baseball. Where like you're like, man, they blew their opportunity. That was their opportunity. And obviously the big storyline is the perfect game. But can I just tell you, because we're going to get to that in a second. When Hosey hit that home run, I got like four, and Mac was one of them. I got like four people saying, called it. And I'm like, I didn't get the first one saying, Hosey's going to hit a home run here. But dude, I was so surprised that thing didn't hit like the second deck, because when it left the bat, I was like, that's going out of the stadium. That's going to be the farthest home run I've ever hit. I was almost a little disappointed it ended up like halfway up the first row of the bleachers.
So it was an absolute, for me, it was a moonshot. I'm sitting down the right field line. So we were in section 130, and we're sitting there, and you know, the first two guys get on base. I'm like, this is awesome. Like, this is the moment that everybody wants to see and watch, is you have Jose Ramirez, who for me right now is up there, top two, top three for MVP candidates right now. I mean, you see what he's doing for the Guards. But to have that situation come up, similar to a playoff situation, crowd's getting crazy. Not a whole lot of fans there, though. But, man, did they make the most noise last night. And the moment he hit it, I'm like, I told Vanessa, I'm looking at her, I'm like, that's gone. And then everybody just goes absolutely berserk, calling his name out, you know, and then that's the bottom of the eighth, and then you roll right into the top of the ninth.
Well, and the crazy thing about this is, because we got to get to Class A last night, waking up on the mound. I've never been afraid of a closer before until last night, but I think the two big takeaways last night, Hosey had three hits, including a double and the three-run home run. Kwan starts the game with a home run, gets another hit, which leads to the Hosey three-run home run. I tweeted this out. If Kwan is getting started and Jose's heating up, you know, we start to talk about the factors that go into a deep playoff run. Those two guys being on fire with just enough pitching and elite bullpen, that is how you do it. Like, you know, like in 2016, it was Miller and Allen went lights out with Kluber.
Right.
And that, you know, there was individual hitting streaks that we remember of like, well, this guy had this hit, the Davis home run. We remember that. But like, it was so much the dominance of three pitchers that led you to that World Series within a game of winning the World Series. This year, if Kwan and Hosey are on one, they could end up being this year's Kluber. I almost said Cliff Lee, Andrew Miller and Cody Allen, because when both are going at the same time, they're almost unbeatable.
Yeah, watching Jose last night, his at-bats last night, I was impressed, because when he's going good, he gets his barrel through the inner half of the zone. He did that last night on all three of his base hits. Hits the triple, hits the double, hits the home run. It's like he's locked in right now hitting from the left side. That's huge. Kwan, though, we're still talking on the air last night, and all of a sudden Kwan comes up and hits the home run right off the get. And by the way, that's Vanessa's favorite player from the Guardians. I'm like, really? Of all players, you like Kwan? But I'm loving it right now. And I think about this right now, too. He's healthy again.
Yeah.
He goes on a 10-day hiatus. He goes on the IL. Now all of a sudden you look at him being completely healthy at the right time. Baseball players don't stay healthy all season long. They play 162 regular season games. Now to have Kwan healthy and hitting his stride right now, oh, it's going to be fun to watch these boys play in October.
Well, and don't look now. The Guardians are a half game off the Yankees. Now, the Yankees do have the tiebreaker, so worth noting, you probably have to win all of your next three games. The Yankees have to lose tonight and then lose one game to the Pirates in their final four games, and then you get the number one seed. But last night, I'll be honest with you, I tuned in Let's say I probably got home about the third inning, maybe the fourth inning, and I tuned in immediately. And I noticed that there was a perfect game going on from the bullpen. And it started with Andrew Walters, and then, you know, it just kind of went from there. And then in the seventh inning, the first man up is TJ Friedl, the light-hitting center fielder for Cincinnati, who lays down a bunt. And my immediate thought is, what an a-hole. Like, and listen, I know it's the unwritten rule of baseball, which usually I don't always prescribe to the unwritten rules of baseball. But are you with me that this was an a-hole move in the seventh inning? You get a hit, it's fine. But laying down a bunt is just ass clown city.
No, I'm not with you on this one at all. And here's my take on it. If I'm a starting pitcher and I've proven myself the first six innings, then yes, I'm going to drill De La Cruz right in the ribs, and mm-hmm. I'm going to let him know, hey, that's because I had a perfect game going, and your boy bunted on me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the repeat side of that is it's a bullpen by committee game. So
you're cheapening the perfect game?
I am, yes, because think about it. The last time that the Guards / Indians had a perfect game was Lynn Barker.
Mm-hmm.
Nine-inning complete game, starting pitcher, no help. I love it.
Isn't that harder, though? Like, if it's one guy, because it's one guy against 27 hitters, this is, what they were on pitcher four? You can't tell me that's not just harder to keep that level of focus and mentality from, I mean, because you just never know who's going to replace you or who you took over for.
Well, so look at it this way, though. Your job as a relief pitcher is to get guys out.
Mm-hmm.
Your job is to come in knowing that at any point in the ball game, you're going to get that phone call to the bullpen. You're supposed to be dialed in from pitch number one. So the thing that I look at is that it's a seventh inning game as a bullpen reliever in a 2-0 game. Okay. So take away the perfect game, take away the no hitter out of it. Your job is to get those guys out to prepare yourself for the next night because you're going to come in the next night most likely too. So for me, if you're not being able to field your position, and this is where I go back to now, is spring training. For 6 to 7 straight weeks, you're learning and working on fielding your position from the bunt. So it's called PFP, pitcher's fielding practice. You work on your bunts. You work on getting off the mound as quickly as possible. Unfortunately, Herron didn't get off the mound. Herron didn't get off the mound to be able to get that.
To see one of the true baseball guys in this town violate the unwritten rules of baseball on air with me as if I'm the gatekeeper. I'm like hurt. This is like finding out Rudolph the reindeer was an a-hole. Like
he might have been.
Now everything's possible.
Right.
216.
I mean, hey, he was the leader.
That's true. Who knows? And leaders are not always very popular.
Right.
216-474-0092. Breaking up a perfect game with a bunt, charming or chotch. I will admit, you caught me in my tracks. I did not expect the line in the sand to be that it was a combined perfect game for you versus if it was just one guy making the pitch. So what's the difference, though?
Well, think about it. So a starter goes out there, works really, really hard, the first, second, third inning, fourth inning, and so on, gets through the sixth inning. So now all of a sudden, you've done your job as a starter. You're still perfect. You go out for the seventh inning. A reliever, on the other hand, for me, been sitting in the bullpen, chilling, relaxing, drinking his coffee, spitting some sunflower seeds out, talking whatever, you know, to his teammates. Now the phone rings, gets called up and says, hey, you're going in the next inning. Your job is to get one inning. That's it. Now, it's an important inning because you still have a perfect game going, but I still, for me personally, I see the difference there.
And by the way, that sound was courtesy of Bally Sports and Matt Underwood, the TJ Friedl. I have so many things to say about this dude.
Go for it. Come on, Nikki.
But don't lose touch with the baseball races now because Cleveland's battling for a first-round bye. Follow all the news on 92.3 The Fan and the free Odyssey app presented by T-Mobile. Head to T-Mobile.com and get a great deal on the iPhone 16 Pro. I think it's total Bush League. I think it's a B move. Because here's the thing. You don't bunt in that situation for any other reason than it's a perfect game. Right? You don't need one base runner, right? You need to start an inning. You need to get on base as the leadoff hitter. There's no other way that he's bunting in that scenario. Can we agree? Even down 2-0 in the seventh inning.
So
even a National League team.
If you're a leadoff hitter, what is your job to do as a leadoff hitter?
Get on base.
Figure out a way to get on base.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're terrible at getting on base because you can't get a regular base hit and you can't walk, What are you going to try to do?
So you're saying he's a coward.
I'm not saying he's a coward.
You're saying you know he's dog bleep.
Nope, I'm not saying that by any means. What I'm saying is last night, the Guards pitching staff was outstanding last night. They did an almost improbable idea right there, right, of being able to have a perfect game going into the seventh inning. And you have the leadoff hitter down 2-0 trying to figure out a way to get on base. Now, in hindsight, if you're playing your position as a pitcher, get off the mound quicker, make the play at first base, we're still talking about a perfect game.
Yeah, listen, and I do think both Heron and Naylor, I mean, if you're going to bunt anywhere, bunt to Josh. Josh is a member of the big and tall section club, and I'm not judging him. It's a lifestyle choice. Good for you. You hit a lot of home runs this year with that lifestyle choice. I can see the fact that both Heron and Naylor got caught off guard, and that is a part of this. It doesn't take away the idea. Whether it was the interim manager, whose name escapes me, not David Bell, we're going to call him, or if TJ Friedl did that on his lonesome, that is a troll-ass move. And here's the thing. I have a very complicated relationship with the unwritten rules of baseball because bat flipping doesn't bother me. I like a little flair, right? But like simple things like if you're ahead by a bunch of runs, you know, don't swing for the fences on 3-0, right? Things like, what was the other one? Don't steal bases if your team's ahead by a bunch of runs. Some of these things are just common courtesy. And so I felt like I think TJ has been let off the hook by some because he ended up scoring. No, you could have. TJ's a good hitter. He's a better hitter than just needs to bunt. And if he was being honest, which he's not because he's a troll and trolls aren't honest, the only reason he bunted was to try and break up the perfect game. This goes beyond like game theory and, wow, we just needed to get something started. No. You're the ass clown that wanted to break up a perfect game and say that you broke up a perfect game. And I am the only other thing that I have a problem with last night is that when TJ Friedl came to the plate at the top of the ninth, that Emmanuel Clase didn't put a 103-mile-an-hour cutter on his right ass cheek.
Well, and that's what I was looking for. Is because now all of a sudden, right, Hosey hits the 3-1 homer. So now you go up by three. You bring in Clase, who last night, 103-mile-per-hour cutter.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody got a little upset last night, right?
Well, and I don't know, whatever Carl Willis said to him, bottle that, and if you can sell that, you'll be a billionaire.
Oh, the train talking his magic on the mound last night during the interim. But for me, I'm looking up Friedel's numbers right now. He's hitting 227.
Yeah.
Like, I think for me, looking at this, and I'm not a hitter, I could probably hit 227 in this league right now.
No, you couldn't.
Oh, you're right,
I can't. That's hyperbole.
You're right, I can't. I just wanted to say that, though. I can't even hit a zero right now.
But listen, even in your playing days, I probably would have called shenanigans on that one. All right, so we're going to throw this out. Do you accept that TJ Friedl just knows he's not a very good baseball player and simply didn't want to be, let's see, what would that be, the 22nd out on his way to a perfect game? Here's the other. He's not a punch and Judy hitter. While he's not a great contact hitter or he hasn't had a lot of success there, he's got 13 home runs. So he does have a little bit of juice. Like he can get you a double in that scenario. I'm still just furious. I don't know there's anything anyone could say. The only defense that I've heard of it that I completely think is crap, by the way, because yours is plausible. Yours is it's on the defense to get that out. That was it. Okay. I hate people who the immediate thing they go to is, well, the unwritten rules are crap. Some are. Basic sportsmanship and not being a little troll B, that's not gamesmanship. That's just, that's a proper unwritten rule. If you want to write that down so it can be the written rules of baseball, I'll allow it.
Well, can we look at this way too, though? Heron, a big lefty, right? Intimidating lefty on the mound.
Mm-hmm.
You have this little leadoff hitter, maybe scared. I don't know. Maybe
so you're scared.
At it as Randy Johnson or somebody like that. He's like, I can't hit this guy. I might as well just bunt.
So you're leaning into the fact that he's more of a B? Mac, by the way.
I mean, he's from Northern Kentucky, we said.
Oh, that is right? Fair.
I think we got to go back to that.
Oh, I actually wonder if. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now. They won't admit it. I'm going to tell you right now. The Reds are from Kentucky shirts.
I like it.
I guarantee you it played into wanting to troll the Guardians by bunting. We might actually have a little traction in this rivalry. It'd be better if they're in the same division. But we might actually have some traction on this rivalry, because I'm going to tell you, you didn't do it this time. That's fine. You're thinking of the playoffs. Next year, first game of the Ohio Cup.
Oh, boy.
If T.J. Friedl's playing in Japan, I want to send Tim Herron over there. They can purchase his contract, and I want to put one in the right butt cheek, because that is like, I'll be honest. This isn't even about the Guardians. This is about, I don't care who you play for. If it was a check swing, so be it. The check swings happen all the time, right? If it was an infield single, those things happen all the time. But bunting, you're a B. And now here's the thing. That's a scarlet letter that he's going to have to wear instead of an A. Nope, it's going to be a B. Every time he comes to bat, I'm going to be like, oh, there's that B again. There's that T.J. Friedl who's not man enough to make a full swing when it's a perfect game because he doesn't want to be.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
Part of history.
You're so soft.
Show your work.
This unwritten rules thing, it's so stupid.
Oh, there we go. We got him.
It is.
We drew him out. All right, why is it stupid?
Because if a team has a chance to win, you can't tell a bunch of guys that still are playing for something, they have pride, that they can't try to win the game anyway.
Yeah, I didn't say don't swing.
Okay, well, if he feels his best chance, if you have a fielder playing back and he's reading the third baseman and he's not in position, why can't he lay a bunt?
Well, no, because it's the context. The only way that you won, Naylor wasn't playing that far off the bag. He's just heavy set. Two.
Okay, well then he read the fact that he's far enough off that he didn't think he could get it if he
would
placed
he
it
have
right.
Bunted if it was if same scenario but
two,
they had
2-0
one
game
hit.
Is as Jason said earlier, his job's to get on base. If he felt the best chance to get on base was the bunt, then why not?
And wait, no, because you're negating the
this
most
is not
important
an 8-0. You can make the case even more, even though I still would not be majorly mad at the guy if it was 8-0. I don't care.
You you're negating the point of the bunt. Is he bunting? If you add one hit to the hit column, if he was the second hitter, right, to get a hit in that game, is he bunting? The answer is no.
Did they score more than one run that inning?
Now you're putting it on the outcome. Would he have bunted?
You're putting it on the outcome that if he would have laid the bunt down and gotten out, nobody would have a problem with
it. Would he have bunted? I still would have thought he was an a-hole.
So that was the outcome.
It's a B-move.
Okay, he's giving you – what's the success rate of a bunt?
12%.
Okay, well, if he's giving you better chance to get out – I don't know, but I know that – I think the sacrifice bump percentage is like 80, like something like 80% or something like that. I don't know.
It's very scientific from you.
Yeah, but if you're bunting for a hit, you're pretty much saying, here, I'm giving you a chance to feel the ball.
Yeah. What you're saying is, I'm a B and I'm going to try and cheap this whole history of the game.
If the Guardians would have clinched a playoff berth by doing this, you wouldn't have been mad.
No, it's in the middle of a perfect game. Yes. No. Yes.
So if we flip the script here, what if the guards are in this scenario, Stephen Kwan's hitting?
I'm going to have to call Stephen Kwan a B.
Really?
I'm going to have to do it.
No, but what if what if the guards are trying to finish out a series win that puts them in the playoffs?
All right, you're down two runs.
You're down 2-0.
Okay.
Stephen Kwan's up. He's just coming off the DL.
I don't want
and he lays down a bunt.
Yeah, third baseman can be out in left field. Stephen Vogt's got to say, you can't bunt. You're not allowed to bunt.
It's 2024. And by the way, what a ridiculous hypothetical. They're not going to do that with Kwan. Not for you. Your part of it's good. The cherry on top, your scarlet letter's also a B, Keith. All right, you and T.J. Friedl. I think we just found out Keith is related to T.J. Friedl.
The assassin.
But here's the thing. I don't want my best hitter bunting in that scenario. Now, T.J. Friedl's not quite that guy. And I understand that basically we got to set the table for Ellie, who's probably their most electric player.
Correct.
At the same point, You cannot tell me he's bunting in any other scenario. If they had four hits in that game, and so it's not a perfect game, or if they had had a walk, if basically a perfect game wasn't riding on it, he's not bunting.
I would like to go back and see some of these other no-hitters or perfect games, if there was anybody else that has tried to lay down a bunt. You know, that would be an interesting fact for me to try to find out. If some other player in other years tried to lay down a bunt during a perfect game or a no-hitter.
By the way, somebody has sent me Lindor breaking up a no-hitter during the Royals game in years past. Guys, we all knew Frankie was a bit of an a-hole, too. All right, somebody needs to say this.
Oh, boy.
Like, it was a D move then. It was a D move last night.
You loved him when he was here.
Yes, because he was our D. But it's somebody else's D. No entry, please. Let's go with AP. AP, welcome to the show.
Hey, boys. Hey, you know, a couple things about this, you know, for those people that want to defend what he did. How, you know, and I've heard, well, they're trying to win a game. Were the Reds trying to win a game the first 158 games of the year when they were 500 and playing for nothing and they got David Bell fired? Why was last night in the top of the seventh inning the first time they were trying to play hard to win a game? It's a D move. It's a D move. You don't do it. It would be unjustified, in my opinion, if it were the eighth inning and the Reds were fighting for a playoff spot. That to me, the bunt in general, I'm kind of a newbie about this. I would just eliminate bunting. Like I
don't hate it. I hate bunting.
What if we just put a box out there that you can bunt in?
There's no other. I mean, like, what is the equivalent of a bunt in basketball or football? Hey, I'm going to get out here on purpose. Now, I know this was the case, trying to bunt for a base hit. But I'm going to get out on purpose to try to advance, you know, a runner. It's the rule that they should have left out when they got rid of the Boston bean crabs in the 1910s. It's a dumb rule, and you're damn right. T.J. Friedl should get one between his between the R and the D in Reds next year, because that's what he is, a big old D.
AP, we appreciate you. I think the only reason Keith doesn't like it is because of the idea of he just hates the unwritten rules, which I don't think you should be all or nothing on it. I think there are some unwritten rules that still make sense. I think others, like the bat flipping thing, are ridiculous to be against at this point.
I just think the feelings thing is, because I get my feelings hurt. We couldn't create history. It's not my job for you to create history. It's like, go do the job yourself.
That's no. That's not what we're saying.
Yes, you are. You're telling the guy that he's got to be limited, that he can only swing the bat. He can't lay a bunt.
No. What we're saying is, you wouldn't do that in any other context but this, which means you're being a troll. Everyone should
care. Who wants
care?
To be on the bad side of history, Nick?
No,
nobody.
Oh, God. See, that's loser mentality.
Why?
Oh, if I try real hard, I might not succeed.
T.J. Friedel's not a Hall of Famer.
Just a little bit.
He's not a Hall of Famer.
Yes, but he's a good everyday player. Because now he's got the scarlet letter on him.
No, he doesn't.
He's got the...
Nobody around baseball cares
except
you.
Literally half of social media says you're a jackwagon.
Oh, yeah, social media. There we go.
Yes, that is a part of society.
Yep.
Just because they don't agree with you, doesn't mean it's not valid. 216-474-0092. Well, this was the Donnybrook we kind of expected here. Charming or Chach, T.J. Friedl bunting. I agree, though, man. I hate bunting every time I see it. There's like 3% of bunts that I'm ever like, woo, bunting. Is T.J. Friedl a Chach, or is he charming? This is where it gets a little hairy. You're hoping for an Orioles win tonight. You're also hoping they don't get so hot, because if you are able to overtake the Yankees for the number one seed, if things went to chalk, the Orioles are the team you'd face in the ALDS about 10 days from now. So a little confusing. Now, on one hand, you really want the Orioles to win, but what you're really rooting for is the right to face the Orioles the first chance you get in the ALDS. So I'm a little cross-eyed right now, Jason.
I think a little bit, too, is matchup, right? I think we're looking at this from a matchup perspective that says, who would the guards rather face off the get after the wild card games happen? Do you want to face the Astros, possibly, or do you want to face Baltimore, possibly? I'm saying right now you face Baltimore because they're banged up in the rotation. I think when you look at our starting rotation and you look at what you have in the bullpen and then what the offense is doing right now, I think they can handle Baltimore.
Well, and here's the other thing. It's really, would you rather face the Astros or the Orioles? And I'll be honest with you, some of this is just spite. I'd like the Yankees to have to go through the Astros. The Astros have been the Yankees' boogeyman. And so if those teams could cancel each other out in an ALDS, and you have the perception is the easier route, there's no easy outs in baseball. I mean, that's I'd rather face a not Astros-Yankees team and then one of the Astros and Yankees rather than facing the Astros, then the Yankees for the right to go to the World Series, where you're likely going to have to face the Dodgers or the Phillies. So,
right.
Again, half game off, but as the Yankees have the tiebreaker there. You really need to go basically a game up on them. You need to finish with one more win and one more loss than the Yankees. So that's where we are. Carmen and Lima's Emerging Podcast Scene tackles the sports scene with a different style every Tuesday and Thursday mornings at 10:15. Listen live on the 92.3 The Fan Extra channel on the free Odyssey app and, of course, 92.3thefan.com, presented by Extend Technologies. Or you guys can also check out every single archived episodes. Well, Jason, we have stirred the hornet's nest here on is TJ Friedl the number one, public enemy number one? Let's go with Lisa. Lisa, welcome to the show.
Hey, boys. How's it going?
Good. How are you doing, Lisa?
Oh, doing great here today. Listen, Nick, they need to calm down a little bit here. Mm-hmm. They were only down two runs in the top of the seventh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I don't even think anybody cared. It was a bullpen session game because nobody looks at a no-hitter as a bull. Nobody looks at a bullpen no-hitter the same way as they would any other no-hitter game.
So the only thing is,
I don't think we've had one or two of those this year.
I don't think we've ever had a perfect game, combined game. So there was some history of that would have been the first time ever. And here's the thing. It's not that he got the hit. It's how he did it. Because I will say this is – so I should ask you this. Do you subscribe to any of the unwritten rules of baseball, or do you not care about any of them?
I subscribe to some of them. But okay. This one is not, because they were still in the game. It was only a two-run game.
Okay.
It was two to nothing, top of the seventh. They were trying to win the game.
Well, I've calmed down a little bit. I still think TJ Friedl's a knob, though, okay?
He is, but let's not beam him because we don't want our guys to get suspended.
No, that's
happened.
I was thinking wherever he is, we find him. If he goes to Japan.
Roll into spring training.
Yep.
Roll into spring training. Yeah. Hey, they're both at the same complex. It might work out perfect.
By the way, we missed the golden opportunity. Anthony Gosch has been up and down 15 times. You couldn't call him back for one more time next year to plug him in the Tukas?
Let Anthony do it, definitely.
Yep, after we win the World Series. Lisa, I like where your head's at. Thank you.
Okay, guys. Have a good day.
You too. Let's go with Justin. Welcome to the show, Justin. What you got for us?
Afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
So I'm not all anti-bunt like you guys, but in this situation, obviously I hate it because it was against us. But you have to think about it. If we were the ones being had a perfect game against, would we even be talking about it? I mean, think about it. I think it was 2021. Would we get no hit like four times? If we had someone lay down a bunt, we'd be celebrating because we didn't get no hit and be part of history.
So
it's only because it happened to us that I think we really care about this.
So now this is because I think you're bringing up a good point. I do think some of this is it happened against us. It makes us mad. I'm sure that's part of it for me, too. So I promise you, the next time somebody breaks up a perfect game with a bunt, no matter who they play for, Guardians, the Napalm Ham Fighters, I'm going to go ham on their ass, I promise you. On my own honor, which there's very little of it, I promise you, I will do that. Okay, buddy?
All right, I'll hold you to that, Nick.
All right, thank you so much. Justin, give us a call there. I'm still in. I can't even talk. I'm so irritated by TJ. Here's the thing. TJ Friedl's also kind of an annoying baseball player. Like, he is that guy. Like, I'm going to make the Kipnis comparison. Now, Kip was an all-star. But, like, there were times where the dirtbag thing.
He's a pesky player.
Yeah. Like, if, so
you look at Kipnis, you look at Dustin Pedroia.
Yep.
Those guys, yeah, they're a nemesis to some players. But I still go back, and I'm going to repeat myself again. It's a bullpen by committee.
Doesn't that make it more rare?
No,
it's never happened. It's never happened in baseball. You're a baseball player.
I am.
I gotta get you on the side of history here.
I can't. And I love history. I think history is great. I think it's, you know, what we all stand for.
Seems like you don't like history right now.
But I'm not in the history phase right now where it's a bullpen by committee outcome. And ultimately, I don't have any qualms to it.
216-474-0092. TJ Friedel. We're just going to go just his name now. Charming or Chach. That's a hit or miss name. Now, with that being said, because I realize I know several TJs, so I'm not going to go down that road. So do you see, how big of advantage do you see to the one seed? I know we were just talking about it, but do you think that this is a go all out kind of thing for the Guardians?
Yeah, I really do. I think you want to be playing your best baseball at the end of the season, rolling into the playoffs. The Guards are doing that right now. They've shown the last couple nights, and yes, I know it's a Cincinnati Reds / Northern Kentucky Reds. You know, I think, and I like that a lot. That's kind of a nice jive right there, right? But when you look at this group playing, we saw it last night. They give up a couple runs. It's tie ball game late. Hosey comes up, 3-run bomb, and then you have Emmanuel Clase come in and kind of struggle a bit. You know, he struggled with command early on, kind of got fired up. The line drive out was huge for him, and then being able to strike out the next two guys. So going for the one seed, I like that they're going to go and continue to fight for it until they can't anymore. And for me, if you get that one seed, it puts in perspective the kind of season that you played out in 162 games.
Well, so there's a couple things here. One, again, it just spites the Yankees and makes them, you know, their side of the bracket gets the Astros, which I think is huge. The other big thing is, you're not just probably playing for home field advantage in the ALCS. You could end up having home field advantage in the World Series. Now, you had that in 2016 and that bitch in the butt because Cubs fans took over Progressive Field.
Unbelievable.
That's still, I can't begrudge people for selling those tickets knowing what they were going for. It still hurt to feel like a Cubs home game. But here's the other thing. I think the Guardians are trying to split the difference. Because I think the way they've kind of done the pitching matchup is they're trying to give themselves a chance to win. But they're not trying to let the Astros see their full hand just in case they don't win. And I think that's really smart. I think going all in, you'd probably put, maybe if you even bring back Bibee for that last game, I think the idea of we're going to try and not show them a lot while still trying to beat them kind of hedges both sides of it and splits the difference because it still is an uphill battle to win. To get the number one seed.
Well, and if they stay in the two seed and they do ultimately face the Astros, the Astros are going to see some of those pitchers in the playoffs as well. But yes, you know, if you're looking at your number one, who that might be, Bibee, you know, I would love to see him get that nod. And if he does, they're not going to see him. They maybe saw him earlier in the season, but they're not going to see him late in the season when he's going at his best.